Mentored by some of the best minds in entrepreneurship in the world, then you're listening to the right podcast, Ditch Digger CEO. We're going to be interviewing CEOs and founders who will be telling their amazing rags-to-riches stories. These entrepreneurs who dominate the industries they serve will be sharing the secrets to their success. We'll be talking to millionaires and billionaires, many who started with nothing. You're going to be mentored with golden nuggets of shared experiences from my guests, whose time is worth thousands and even tens of thousands of dollars per hour. I started in the paving business right out of high school, and with no college education, mentorship has been my education of choice. I started over 25 companies in the last 20 years, have generated over $1.5 billion in revenues. My guarantee is this: if you listen to Ditch Digger CEO and you want to be more successful, you will become more successful. The secrets of my success and for many of the world's greatest business leaders will be revealed. Let Ditch Digger CEO mentor you.
Hey, welcome to Ditch Digger CEO today. Chris, man, we got a whopper, man. We got a great guy that I'm going to learn a lot from, you're going to learn a lot from, and our listeners are going to learn a lot from, because he's in a space that not many of us have the courage to tackle. And I'm excited to hear from Armin Tahiri. Armin, welcome to our podcast, buddy.
Awesome. Appreciate you guys having me on. Looking forward to this conversation today.
Awesome. Well, hey, here's what we do. We go from kind of your upbringing. Want to hear a little bit about your upbringing, family, that kind of stuff. What inspired you to be an entrepreneur? You're a young buck still today. So you got started as a pimply faced teenager, it looks like to me.
I had a couple of peach fuzzes and a little bit of pimples on my face during the years over there. But it's been a fun journey. I'll kind of, bring it up here. So first and foremost, I was born in Rhode Island, the smallest state in the United States, very quiet in nature, but had an awesome upbringing. I was blessed to have, amazing mom and dad, as well as an awesome brother who's my co-founder and partner. And we do so many different things together to this day. But, we really had an excellent childhood, being able to, play around, every single day after school with friends, being able to play different sports throughout, the adolescent years, soccer, basketball, baseball. They used to call me, there's a local supermarket in Rhode Island, Stop and Shop. They used to call me Mr. Stop and Shop because we were sponsored by them. And I had a good, I was the cleanup hitter on the Little League team. So, I ended up, being pretty solid. So that was fun. That was a cool journey, as I was growing up. So went to school, did the whole kind of high school, getting into college as well, studied finance, and thought to myself that I wanted to, work on Wall Street. I wanted to become, an investment banker, go in that route. I worked right out of school, for JP Morgan Chase, really in the hedge fund kind of space. And I found out really early on, it was not going to be for me. I was working 80, 90 hours a week, and, I was working for the big guy, rather than wanting something and just feeling it inside that I was destined for more. And for me, I knew that was not my long-term path. But I didn't know at that time that I wanted to become an entrepreneur. So I really was very day-to-day in nature, really just kind of trying to understand where my path would be. Eventually had to give up, what I was doing there at JP Morgan. And I enrolled back to, getting my master's degree at Northeastern University in Boston, Massachusetts. And during that journey, I was working as well at Bank of America doing commercial lending. And I was starting to, while I was working, I wanted to just stay ahead of the curve. And I was starting to listen to podcasts. And I was listening to a podcast. I don't recall the name of the person that started it, but it was the Future of Work podcast. And that specific podcast, along with another one called Entrepreneur on Fire with John Lee Dumas, those two podcasts, I think, flipped the switch for me in understanding that there was another path, right? Traditionally, when, you know, people, you know, go to school, they think they're going to have a really good job out of college, but a lot of times they go to school and they have a lot of debt out of college. And, you know, being able to kind of escape that rat race is something that I saw for myself. And, you know, kind of fast forward to, you know, being able to get to that entrepreneurship journey, that's where, you know, I really wanted to get a taste of that. So my brother Ashkin, as well as myself, you know, we started a marketing agency called Social Expansion. And that agency was really where we got the grinding gears and the grit to being an entrepreneur. You know, we had to fail fast, fail forward, you know, working with, you know, any type of client that came our way because we didn't know any better. We were just trying to figure it out, you know, figure out like what year was this,
Armin? You started
like the entrepreneurship journey. I think it was around like 2014, around that time period, where we were kind of just starting to get a taste of it. So it was around that journey about, what is that, like 9 years ago at this point. It's been a while, I guess, at this point for my journey. But I would say when we first started, we didn't know any better. We just wanted to, like, you know, find a way to, you know, just get started, make some income and not have to rely on, you know, working for the big guy that you feel like you're a cog in the machine and you're not the person that's, you know, really having control of your own destiny. And I think that's really what inspired me to become an entrepreneur.
Awesome. Yes. That was probably in you from the beginning, right? You want to control your own destiny, like many of us. And so, Absolutely. So tell me about that business. What did that business look like? And, you know, what was your strengths in that business and starting that first business? Or what did you focus on? And what did Ashton focus on?
Yeah. So I'll kind of break that down. And I will say at first, there was not really much focus. And I think that's where you kind of start to learn as you become an entrepreneur. Like, you're just trying to do 100 things at once when you're in that kind of, you know, founder stage, that two-person company, or if you're a solopreneur, you're doing everything for your business. And really what, you know, we were doing at the time, and we were kind of spinning wheels, like we were just trying to get any client, any type of industry that we could potentially work with and provide, you know, marketing services. So that could be email marketing, that could be paid advertising, social media content creation, as well as just, you know, helping them build websites. So that was kind of the foundational kind of service offerings that we were putting in place. And, you know, I would say for, you know, a good 5-year period, we were doing that day by day by day. And we were really spinning kind of our gears, figuring out like, how do we create something that's scalable? How do we create something that we are not working in the business, we're working on top of the business? And it took a while to really figure that out. But I'll kind of share the turning point. You know, we had at that point in time, we had the opportunity to work with a good amount of clients. You know, we were probably making, maybe like 10, 15 grand a month in the business. So nothing too crazy when we were at that point in time. But, you know, what really was the turning point is, you know, COVID kind of started. And during that time, you know, as many of you guys are aware, you know, being able to have face masks was something that was mandatory. So we were living at the point in time in downtown Los Angeles. And we actually had a medical kind of supply, medical scrubs company that we started, and we were kind of getting that off the ground. But we noticed this opportunity with face masks, and, you know, we said to ourselves, we already have the relationships with the manufacturers. We understood how to build e-commerce websites. We've done that in the past for other brands. We've started our, you know, e-commerce brands, you know, slowly but surely, you know, over the years as well, on top of the marketing services. But realistically, we created a company called Wear the Shield, which was a face mask company, and we were blessed to say that we were able to scale that company within weeks to driving thousands of orders a day. And it might have been a timing thing, but I don't think it was just timing. I think all of the lessons that we learned when we were spinning our wheels as that marketing agency, a social expansion, all the clients that we worked with, we took a nugget from this client, a nugget from that experience, and we put it all together. And we essentially kind of hit that perfect storm moment of being able to build something that we were able to grow and scale and achieve our first success. So that was kind of the story around how that all occurred.
Okay, so think about this. I'm guessing that you worked for all different customers, like small business, mid-market companies, things like that. Is that the kind of target market you had before this happened?
That's exactly correct. We had a good diversity of clients that we were working with. Restaurants, could be the gym owner, it could be all these different types of businesses.
So just like you, and I think a lot of our entrepreneurs, right? I worked for many, many businesses and many people in my first 20 years. And I asked a lot of questions. How'd you do this? How'd you do that? Right. You're integral to their system, their marketing, of course, and their differentiators and all that. You're hearing all that, right? I would pay parking lots for people that had businesses, and I'd ask them all the questions I could as a growing entrepreneur.
Yeah.
But those are my first mentors. The first people I learned about business with, right? So you had to be like, you're kind of on the inside, understanding their differentiators so you can market them, right? Understand how they brand themselves, what customers are in front of, how they get there. So you're like right on the inside as you do that, and you're able to just kind of be a sponge as you're helping them, right? That's really
exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think on top of just like understanding kind of how they were, you know, as operators and how they function as a business, I think some of the biggest lessons I learned is how some of them were leaders or how some of them were not leaders in their organization. And I think that was really the biggest, you know, takeaway that I was able to, you know, to take in and really use that to, you know, where we are today at Talent Pop. You know, we work with, you know, over 700 brands in the e-commerce space, and we provide customer service agents, you know, for a variety of different types of clients in e-commerce brands in the industry. And we've grown our team to over 1,000 team members remotely. We have, you know, about almost 40 people in our U.S. Headquarters that are, you know, located either in California or other parts of the United States. And that leadership, really kind of those lessons during the way on leadership and how to manage a team and how to be that servant leader, I think that was the biggest differentiator that allowed us to put us in the success that we've been able to achieve up to this point.
Yeah, when you're growing that many teammates that fast, boy, you better have some culture. You better have some structure and culture and leaders that live by that culture in order for them to follow the right direction. Otherwise, they're going to be off in all different directions. You're going to be confused as far as your brand. So what were the core values that you led by?
Yeah, no, I'll definitely share a couple. So first and foremost, I think that lead by example is everything. You know, you got to be someone as a leader that's willing to get in the dirt with your team. You are staying. There's no one that's leaving. You know, there's no one that's going to stay in the office after me, right? I'm going to be that last person out each and every day. If someone is kind of working through something, I'm going to be there personally checking on them, help them out, be there with them every step of the way. So that lead by example is super, super important. You know, one thing that, you know, we communicate, you know, every single day that we talk throughout our entire organization is 1% better every day. And I think that consistency of having, you know, your aspiration to continue to get better and better and better each day, even if things come your way, you know, that slows you down, just find a win in that day. Find an opportunity that you can say, hey, listen, I had a sucky day here. There's these things that happen with clients, but I was able to, you know, persevere through that. I was able to support another team member, help them complete, you know, what they've needed to complete. And I got 1% better as a result of being that team member to support, you know, someone else on the team, even if things are kind of struggling on the other side.
I like it. Yeah, that's awesome. It seems simple, right? But if you do that, you can improve 1% a day, whether it's your sales tactics, your operational skills, or whatever it is, right? You're going to get better and your company's going to get better. Love it.
Yeah. And it's everything.
So those are the two main things that you guys think about. Lead by example, and you do that, and you know, 1% better each day. And they measure that kind of their own way, the 1%, because it's kind of tough to measure. I mean, but I'm guessing if you know your job, you know who you are, probably not that difficult to figure out, you know, if you gained anything or not.
Yeah. And then another one that I think is also important as well is kind of being a positive person. You know, if you have, you know, that person that's always kind of complaining, you're like, why this, why that? You're literally weighing others around you down. And I think that is one of the worst things that you can establish in a culture, is a culture of people that complain. Luckily and fortunately, you know, we have definitely not had that within our organization. You know, we can spend a little bit of time. If there's something that happens, take a moment to vent it out. Like, shit, this happened, you know, go through that, but really spend that 90% on the solution. So, you know, acknowledge the problem, you know, let's take a moment, we'll address it, but let's spend the majority of our time on solving the problem. How are we going to work together? What are we going to put in place? I think leaders and team members, you know, as you're in that organization, if you adapt that principle, you're going to be so much more clear as a team and working in harmony to solving problems when they come in, you know, come to fruition.
You're right. And again, it's you know, problems you solve every day within your organization is so important, but even as, or more important, it is solving your customers' problems, right? And when you do that, you create raving customers, in my opinion, right? We do this over and over again. We create differentiation. We create a differentiation in our businesses like nobody else in our space, purely through just seeking to solve our customers' biggest problems, right? And if that's what you're, you know, if you do that with a negative attitude, it's not so good. You got teammates with a positive attitude, right? You know, that your customers want to interact with because they love the energy, right? They want that person on their team solving problems versus the other way, right? So I love it. Okay, so 700 brands that you guys represent, and then you have a company like this Shield. Where the Shield company is, that still in play, or is that now, you know, not?
That company is kind of sunsetted at this point. You know, I on top of what we do with Talent Pop, I also, you know, invest in other businesses as well. So I've invested in restaurants. I've invested in a very successful acai bowl chain called Everbowl. I've invested in different types of e-commerce startups as well. So I do a lot of kind of angel investing on the side. Also invest in real estate. You know, that's, I think, really important for, you know, entrepreneurs to, yes, have that core focus. And I think that's where, you know, a lot of the learning lessons from the social expansion days to where we are now with Talent Pop, it's being laser focused. But when you do, you know, you're able to grow and capitalize. You definitely want to diversify and have, you know, really solid, you know, investment strategy and people around you that are helping you, you know, create those strategies.
And I got to imagine, I mean, I do also angel investing too. So I've been doing it for years and I enjoy it because I can bring my experiences to young entrepreneurs with a good idea. And it's fun to be able to make a difference as you invest. So you probably do. Yeah. What do you bring to the table? I can guess, right? But tell me what you bring to the table to somebody say, you know what, I love the energy of this partnership. I love the product and the you know, target customer you're going to serve. You know, when you look at these, you also tell me how you also think of what your ad could be, or you know, how you serve them as an investor beyond being just money.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, you want to be someone that's value added, right? Cash, you know, being able to get money, you know, dumb money and smart money are two different things. And mm-hmm. I think you, as, you know, an investor, you don't just want to be someone that's just playing on the sidelines. You want to add value as best as possible. So I think, you know, being able to have, you know, a good connection with the founders of the company, understanding like, what do you guys need help with? What are you struggling with in your business? If you are able to kind of give them clarity, and I think that is really the big thing that a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs struggle with, is being crystal clear on what they truly want to achieve and being focused on the things that they need to be working on in their business in order to continue to kind of grow, you know, to the next level. I think there's things that you can look at when it comes to business goals and being very clear, like, are these business goals going to get us to what we are, as the founder, want to achieve? So you should be setting the right goals for your business. There should be clarity across not just the founders, but everyone is part of the organization in terms of what are we doing each day? Why do we do what we do each and every day? There should be very, you know, clear, you know, alignment on that across the team. And then ultimately, once that there's alignment, you know, you want to be there that you can help support founders with, you know, break fix opportunities where, you know, if something is going wrong in the business, they can come to you and say, hey, like I'm dealing with, you know, an issue with like being able to scale our ad budget. We're having issues being able to connect with, you know, free trial offer on our SaaS product and getting that to a place where we can start scaling. So being someone that's there to help them through those challenges, maybe providing resources that they can go to help them further, but also giving them that clarity and alignment. I think those are things that I truly like to add value to the, you know, founders that I work with.
I agree 100%. I mean, I'm the same way. I really don't want to get involved in supporting it, or really see as a seed investor unless I can bring value. And sometimes I can look and say, you know, I just don't think I can bring value there. And sure. I walk away. So I think it's a great attitude to have, and you're going to make that business stronger and the odds of success are better. So no brainer. Okay. So when you think about your business today, Talent Pop, you know, 700 brands that you support. What is your, when you meet with these a new potential brand, you know, what are the biggest differentiators you bring to the table that you can be very confident? If you hire me, here's what you get that you can't get anywhere else. Do you have some of those?
Absolutely. I think, you know, just being someone that's going to be super hands-on throughout each stage of the process, where every person that is touching that client relationship is putting their time and energy to be very customer centric in that relationship. And I think that's so important that it's not just the sales team promising the world. The team that's going to be delivering on what you're promising needs to be able to execute that at that high level. And everyone needs to be aligned at every step of the process in order to make that happen. So that's really, you know, the biggest thing that I think a lot of, you know, service providers miss, and you probably can attest to this as well, you know, as you work with a ton of, you know, end customers as well, is if you don't have everyone on the team that's customer centric, you have a broken business. And I think that is really one of our big differentiations, is really taking our clients through the onboarding process, being hands-on with them, not just always completing what we've set out to complete for them. Sometimes we'll go above and beyond, right? They might ask us something that's completely different from what we're looking to provide. But if we see a strong relationship and, you know, an ongoing relationship with that client, we want to serve them as best as possible. And I think that type of mentality is everything.
Well, yeah, I agree 100%. And, you know, the thing is just, when you look at that, when you think about that, your core values already say lead by example, 1% better every day, right? But if you sincerely surround your customers with teammates that have that attitude, customer centric every day, right? Everyone's customer centric every day. You probably don't have to talk about the hours you work. You probably don't have to talk about how to serve your customer better, how to solve their problems, because customer centric means all those things. And I can tell you, I had a challenge the other day with one of my leaders who really wasn't very attentive to a customer on a weekend. I saw a tech me on it and he wasn't that attentive on Monday. He said, "Oh yeah, I didn't have a big conversation because it was the weekend." Right. I said, "But you know what? That customer really needed that conversation, wanted that conversation on the weekend. You were kind of short with him." I said, it's not about you. It's about the customer. Right. Yep. And so it's easy. Like you're saying, it's easy then. And I didn't really focus on customer centric. I just said, "Hey, if we're going to be world-class, we have to serve our customers in a world-class way." That wasn't world-class. And if you can't handle the customer, then we'll bring it to somebody else that will treat that customer like part of the family. They get a text on a weekend, man, they're going to get back to them. They're excited to, actually. Right.
Now, I think what's also important in that as well is how that leader took that feedback. Did they take ownership of that feedback? Or did they say, "Yeah, you know, you're right." But like you can tell the energy of a person and how they receive that feedback to whether they're bought in or not. I'm curious
So I actually said, I'm going to fly in town tomorrow. I've got a day in Chicago today. I said, I want to meet you for breakfast, or coffee or lunch. I can break out breakfast, coffee or lunch for an hour meeting with you to understand why this is okay with you. I want to understand why it's okay with you in a face-to-face meeting. If you know that you didn't serve that customer as well as that you should have, then we don't have to talk about it. Just tell me you're good. And he said, no, you're right. We're good. He goes, "You're right. You're exactly right. I should have taken the time on and on." But again, you know, it's you at your level that, you know, as a leader and a founder to call them out in the best possible way. But as long as your values say this, right, they sign on, right? Your teammates sign on to this, to your business. because they must have liked your values. Okay, now let's live by them. So I think
also another thing as well is, let's say you let that slip and you don't say anything to that leader. What are the other people around them going to think about you as the leader? Are you going to let that happen? Is that the type of organization that we're trying to build here? Is, you know, a culture of people that don't want to win and don't want to provide world-class service? I think that's really important to think about as well, is you got to set that example for their team and let them know that, hey, we're keeping each other accountable at that highest level. If I'm slipping as a leader, I want you to let me know. I give you that autonomy to have that conversation with me and keep me in check as well. That's why we're here together.
100%. And this person has about 6 or 7 direct reports, right? So what are those direct reports, again, when they get a customer call, right? How do they treat it? Well, eventually they're going to treat it a lot like him if they're looking up to him as a leader. So again, I believe it was just a kind of a little brain fart from our leader, and I think it'll be fine longer. But you're exactly right. We need to have the courage to call out these things. Otherwise, bad things happen and our culture falls apart. Okay, I got a business right now that I'm going to tell you what it is, and I want you to tell me what you guys would do if you could do anything. If this is like in your wheelhouse, I've got a technology company that's growing crazy, and it's growing with no sales yet. So it's grown about 3 years, about 600% in revenues. In three nice. Years, it's grown about 1,100% in profit, net profit. And we've done no sales with this business. And here's what we do. We fly drones all over the, we were blessed to have a lot of big customers from our paving business, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, some great, great blue chip customers. We got many, okay?
Love it.
All across the country. And we got those customers by differentiating, by giving away engineering services, like giving away free civil engineering, pavement specific, to tell them what are their problems, how do you fix them, how do you specify, okay? Well, my son came in the business and he said, Dad, you know what? We can use drones and artificial intelligence, and this is 6 years ago, and we can do 10 times at least more of this consulting for our customers across the country using drones and drone pilots and market by market. So I said, hey, let's try it. And we did. That business is now about $150 million in value 6 years later. And we have about 35 employees, great teammates, really smart engineers and whether it be civil, structural and computer engineers, AI focused PhDs. I mean, we got some amazing people in this business because it's a very attractive business.
Very niche business as well. That's really interesting. Very
niche business. So all of our customers that have used this product, use it now it's a SaaS product. In the last year and a half, we've created a SaaS model for it. Yep. So Walmart nationally does all their distribution centers with this product. So does Blackstone. So does a bunch of others, right? And so it's just the beginning stage of this business. And now we're building a sales force. So we're hiring a chief, sales officer, or revenues officer, whatever we call him, and sure. We're close to hiring him. He's going to build a sales force. Now we're going to start marketing this product, okay? Any real estate holder of more than 1 million square feet of property in the world will be blessed to have this SaaS product on their team. It's so inexpensive and it's so amazing, the world-class engineering it delivers, not just for pavements, Armin, but for roofs, facades. We're going to get the landscaping, environmental, everything around a building, okay? How could you bring value to a business like that as we scale this thing nationally and globally?
On my end, I would say specifically outside of what I do, if I were to add value, I think it would very much be from a leadership standpoint of leadership development, of being able to make sure that we have the right leaders on the team. We have people in the organization that are, building and driving each.
Wait, hold on. Your business Talent Pop would do this, does this?
No. So Talent Pop is independent.
No, you as a leader would do this, okay? But
correct,
Talent Pop is Talent Pop a company that can help this company on the e-commerce and all that, or no?
Well, it's e-commerce, absolutely, but you're kind of more in the SaaS business, very technical in nature. you can certainly build a team that's outside of kind of the scope of Talent Pop and how we work. We really support, you know, the CPG, the, you know, clothing brands, the supplement companies that are selling, you know, through like Shopify websites. They have their own brands online.
Retail stuff, not B2B, retail, B2C.
More on the B2C side. There are some B2B in nature, more non-technical, but yours, the SaaS business is definitely a little bit more technical in nature. We don't support mm-hmm. that industry at this point in time.
Okay, let's go back to you then. Now you got a business that's doing this. Tell me how your leadership takes over. Like you're getting into that. You're describing and go back to that because I like
yeah,
that.
So like just if I'm just talking from a consulting side, like what I would be thinking in your shoes is, you know, you want to make sure that you have the right leadership team that's helping scale that organization. You mentioned bringing on like a CRO, a chief revenue officer that can help build the sales team. That's probably one of the big opportunities that are not kind of added in the business. So that's a really great opportunity. As the business grows, you know, other parts of the business that's really important is the people side of the company. Do you have, you know, that head of HR, the chief people officer in the company that's actually helping mold the team, that's making sure that you have the right people in place for all of the different facets of the organization? So I think
so business guys and girls are listening, okay? What, so I'm always apprehensive in doing that too early, but you know, in this case, you know, maybe it's a different situation because of the explosive growth that we actually bite the bullet early. Right now we kind of sub it out to we have a back office for my other 13 companies that has HR. So we're okay. Subbing out right now. But when, you know, when do we pull the trigger and do it full time? Because as you're saying, it's very important that this culture stays strong and the HR is the HR leader is really ingrained in the business, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying is as you guys are getting to that scale, you're going to be hiring a lot of people. You want to make sure everyone that's coming to that organization is aligned. So there needs to be someone there in the business, a chief people officer, head of HR, that's someone that can really, you know, make sure that culture is really ingrained. Yes, you're going to be someone that leads by example as a leader, but there should be someone there to help support you with that as you guys grow and scale.
Yeah, yeah, we've got a great CEO, we've got a great CTO, Chief Technical Officer, and they're amazing people. Culturally, they're awesome people, right? So they do a good job identifying. But you know what? In the long run, you know, like you're saying, somebody that just is focused on that, laser focus on that, probably a better, you know, better fit, better idea.
You bet.
Cool. What else do you think about as in growing a business like this? And you've been in this explosive stage where you've had to grow from nothing to, you know, where you are today in a short period of time. So think about it. I'll ask this question. How many teammates, revenues, teammates, where are we at?
For Talent Pop in our organization, this company started 2020. This is only 3.5 years in the making.
Okay. 2020, zero, not an idea. Okay. And then 2000, let's say 20, then a year later, how many employees, revenues, and then where are you at today?
I can't share revenue information. What I can share is customer information, people information. So I think, you know, in terms of the number of people that we had in our organization, we probably were at that in that 1 year, we probably got up to about 250 people in the organization working with a little over 100 clients at that point in time, where we didn't have necessarily the full leadership build out at that point in time. Definitely a lot of hat wearing at that, you know, earlier point in time. I would say it took us a little bit over 2 years to really get that HR person in our organization, which I think was such an important move for our ability to continue to scale. Because with our business, we're very human oriented, very people oriented. Yes, very tech driven in how we operate, but it's definitely very human intensive. So you have to have the right people in place that is driving the growth of the company. That was the part that we didn't have necessarily in that first year. But once we really turned that on and we had the right people leading each part of the organization, once you get to that scale, you know, that's when we were able to kind of, you know, see that hockey stick growth within our organization.
Yeah. And I got to imagine you had to take your time. You and your brother really interviewed a lot of people to find that one person that you really felt matched your values, your culture, and could be that person, right?
It took a lot of screening, a lot of conversations, a lot of really deliberating who's going to be the right fit. I think it took us almost maybe like 5 months to find that HR person within our organization. We screened and interviewed a lot of people to find that person, because if you bring the wrong person in that type of role, it could be a complete, and I'll say the word, it could be a cancer to your organization.
Oh, of course. Of course. Okay. So end of this year, where will you end up? People and customers you're serving. So I think you said 700 now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're closing out the year right now. I think we'll be around 1400 team members to close out this year.
Holy cow. That's crazy.
Yeah. And about 1400 team members in our organization. And I think maybe around 730, 740 clients that we'll be working with. And the beauty of our business as well, it's not just necessarily adding more clients over time. You know, with customer service, as businesses grow, they need more people in their business. So there's an expansion and component to our business that, you know, also is really, really important to the growth of the company as well.
Okay, tell me about the layers of teammates and what they do. So from a like a entry level position in your business to like the mid level. Tell me what when you look at this, 1400 people.
I'll try to break this down as simple as possible for, the listeners here. So, the people that are really in the day to day, they're the customer service agents. They're there with the end clients each and every day. That's the bulk of the organization in terms of people. That's kind of the entry level role. From there, there's team leaders that will support those customer service agents. So there's about, one team leader for every 20 to 25 customer service agents on the team. And then there is team operations managers that manage the team leaders. So that operations manager could manage anywhere from 10 to 15, team leaders within the organization. So that's kind of the team operations. That's the bulk of the workforce. And then, of course, we have a sales team. Ashkin, our co-founder, he oversees that sales team. So he has team members there. We also have our marketing team. So we have, people that are on the creative side, the help with creative. We have people that help with the email marketing side of things. And then there's that kind of, marketing operations manager that helps kind of organize all of those efforts on the team. We go into the recruiting team. We have a director of recruiting that really oversees everything that we do. And as an organization, like a customer service agency, recruitment is a heavy, heavy part of the organization, because you got to be screening thousands of people a week to be able to have that type of scale to, work with hundreds of different brands when, they're needing to add people on a daily, weekly basis. So we got to be screening. We have to have a very clean process. So we have a director of recruitment there, kind of under them. They have the recruitment team leaders, and then we have the recruitment managers that are kind of managing the recruiting process for the agents that we're bringing on board. So there's a little bit of hierarchy there. So a lot of moving parts there. We also have the customer success team, which is, that oversees the largest portion of the business. I oversee and sit on top of customer success. Within that, we have, I think, almost 15 customer success managers on the team, which, we're really hands-on in the relationships with the clients that we work with. So that's a really important facet to our business. We have onboarding specialists that help support the onboarding of our agents and our clients. We have implementation specialists that help support the implementation of the tech and softwares that these clients are using, making sure that they're optimized there. We have trainers on the team. We have HR on the team. There's a whole kind of operation to what we do.
Unreal. Well, you look at this. I mean, if you look at 3 years, you've hired more than one person per day. It looks like about 1.2 or 3 people per day you've had to hire to get to this point. So it's crazy. It's amazing how you've done it. And what do you see as your vision? Your vision, right? Who's the visionary on your team between you and Ashton, and who's the execution guy, the operations mind?
I would honestly say that Ashkin and I are both visionaries, but I definitely have a team of operators under me. So both of us are, visionaries. I would say we're honestly co-CEOs of the company, but he focuses on the sales, marketing, partnerships of the business. I focus on customer success and every part of the operation that rolls up to customer success. So we have a really great division responsibilities there. And then we have people under us. We have leaders under us that are the implementers of our vision. And we also step in to make sure that we can hammer the nails in and make sure things are, you know, put in place successfully as well.
Amazing. Okay. Give me your niche customer that you guys love serving. That's probably like your, you know, there's an, you know, the 80-20 rule, right? A lot in most of our businesses, 20% of our customers deliver 80% of the value of the business. Maybe, and you're lucky if it's not that. If you can constantly work on that, and you know, it's great if you can, if a bigger percentage of your customers could deliver that value of your business, right?
Yeah.
But when you think about that 80-20 rule, who are the 20% or whatever it is, 15-30% of your customers that deliver a lot of the value of our company? What do they look like?
Yeah, I mean, you know, really strong emerging e-commerce brands that, you know, they're probably 9 figures in revenue, you know, as a business. They're scaling. They might have already have, you know, a customer service team established in their business, but they have no ability to scale that team the way that, you know, an agency like Talent Pop can. So we'll go ahead and we'll partner with those businesses to really make sure that they can turn up, turn down their customer service teams based on their peaks and valleys of their business. That's what the complicated part of building an in-house customer service team is, being able to scale up and down. And they don't have the infrastructure to hire and remove people at that speed. That's built into the DNA of our company. We are nimble. We are able to understand our clients' needs. We bring in dedicated team members that get to understand the core values of the businesses that they end up working with, the brand voice, the brand tone, the product offering. And we are able to install great, awesome team members that are excited to work for those brands, but can also be mirrored into the brand that they're working on. And I think that kind of, you know, clarity of that's what we're looking to do. We don't just want to put any team member to your organization. We want to match the right person to your team. That's going to be the best reflection of what your core values are to your end customers.
Oh, awesome. Okay. And what, you know, one thing I realized when I wrote down some things here is when you describe your teammates, what I loved about the way you described it is, you know, I look at things in my business as really a upside down pyramid. You described it kind of that way, right? And at the bottom of that pyramid, right, at the bottom is you and your brother, you know, shouldering, right? Those above you, serving, I should say, serving those above you, right? That's the mark of a good leadership, right? When you as the leader know your job, and you said this over and over in this whole, you know, in this hour, half hour, 45 minutes we've talked, that, you know, that you're there to serve and you're there the long hours, everything else. And that's amazing culture that you can provide. Until you're ready, right, to mentor somebody else and do that position that could be like you, that's where you're at, and it's not changing because that's your culture.
And that's also who I am as a leader. That's who I want to be as a leader. Like sometimes you hear people kind of through the grapevines, they just want to be able to work in business so that they can go and chill out and they can go and, you know, have a comfortable life. Like that doesn't get me excited, and I don't think that should get many people excited. You have to have a why to what you're doing each and every day. And if you're not really clear on what that why is, and you're just, you know, I want to make a bunch of money so I can go and just live my life. What's the purpose of that? Why are you on this earth? What are you doing to add value and contribute? You know, you got to have meaning behind what you're doing. And I think, you know, with whatever you do in life, you always find that silver lining of what's important for you. Why do you do what you do every day? How are you adding value to the people around you so that they're able to grow and develop and level up, you know, as, you know, great team members of your organization? And how are you installing that into the ecosystem of your company where eventually that will get reinforced with the customers you work with? If, you know, we just got an email yesterday from one of our clients and they were able to share that, you know, one of our customer success managers, how well they supported that working relationship with a pretty well-known, you know, CPG brand, and how like they were able to really take ownership of the relationship from every part of the organization. But what they said is how they motivate them as the business as well. So the end client is getting motivated by how we operate. And that's truly awesome. What's inspiration blowout, what we do.
Dude, I'm getting motivated by listening to you, and I expected that after looking at your the information I found online with you. So you're awesome, and you're going to continue to be awesome because you've got the right attitude. You love leadership. I was in Italy for about a little over 3 weeks, a couple weeks ago and back. And what I found was they work to live. And if they can get away with a day of work a month, that's what they're going to do. And that's great. That's the culture. That's great. I'm like you. You know, I'm now 60 years old, right? And for me, my goal is to make the biggest impact I can make in this world before I leave this world, right? And I've got a great foundation that's run by my daughter and our team that does amazing things as we create profits. A bunch goes there. But besides that, my businesses are making a great impact in our industry. We're leading our industry in many ways. So it's really fun, right, to live a life where you have this energy that you don't want to stop, you know, leading and working and building things, because you know what, it's just not as fun.
When you're younger, you know, you probably played video games, played sports. You had that competitive spirit. This is a sport. You know, being an entrepreneur is a sport every day. I look forward to the challenges that come my way. I look forward to being there in the dirt with my team and really supporting them as well. Like, what's more exciting than that, in my opinion? That's what gives me oxygen.
I love that. I love that term. You know that. I don't think we've heard that very often, Chris. Is, you know, being an entrepreneur is like being in a sport, and I love it because I agree with you. I was a competitive athlete in high school. I didn't go to college, but when I first started my business, my goal was to kick the crap out of my competition every way I could by getting better, delivering better. And we were blessed enough to be able to do that, right? Same thing. I mean, if you think that way, man, this is a sport, you know, try to be world-class, try to be the best, kick the, you know, in the nicest way possible, sure, kick the snot out of your competition. Right. And so I love that attitude, man. Okay. So I we could talk to you for 10 more hours, dude. You're awesome.
Of course, all day long.
But let me tell you, Chris is going to finish up with what he, you know, maybe a couple of questions of what he's heard. And what we like to do is really get kind of the nuggets of success. What's created success in our eyes in you personally, your brother, and this great company, Talent Pop. If we can get that, we'll finish with that. Chris, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, awesome. No, Armand, you're awesome, man. We could legitimately ask you questions for the rest of the afternoon. my biggest pressing question for you. How did you guys come up with the idea for Talent Pop? Like, what?
Really great question. Yeah. Great question. I'll give you the two minute punch on this. So I mentioned Wear the Shield as a company. We were able to scale that business really quickly in a few weeks. But when you grow an e-commerce brand and you scale that fast, what comes with that sales? Customer service, right? Being able to support the customers that you're being able to sell to. So we didn't have a customer service team. At first, I was answering hundreds of emails a day. I'm like, what am I doing? That's not like the best use of my time. So what we tried to do is find, you know, an agency that can help us out with that. And it just was not the right fit. So we ultimately thought to ourselves, let's just build this team the right way. So I was able to kind of figure out like, what are the ways that we're able to recruit great talent? How do we screen them properly? How do we get them trained and onboarded to our business? And, you know, we were able to do that in a few weeks, really get the right type of people in our organization. And I think that really kind of lit up a light bulb. Like, this is not the only, like, we're not the only people that have this same problem. Other businesses are, you know, definitely facing this challenge and these growing pains as they're growing and scaling, you know, a business. They don't have people in the back end to really help support and be the frontliners to their customers. I think that's one of the big missing pieces that people don't think about is if you don't have good customer service and you're not taking care of your customers, why are they going to come back? Right. You have to have that added to your business, you know, and really embedded there. So, you know, based on kind of what we went through and our struggles and, you know, our marketing background, understanding e-commerce and understanding the needs of our potential future prospects, we started going in and having conversations with people in our network, talking about this idea and starting to just put this stuff into action. Like, we didn't want to, you know, build a whole business plan. This is what we're going to do in the next 5 years. Let's get to freaking work, you know, and that's what we did. We were nimble. We were lean. Me and Ashton kind of did things just in the very beginning. I did the recruiting. He did the sales. I did the onboarding. I did the managing. I wore 18 hats just to get this thing off the ground. And I think based on being able to go through each part of your business, I think is also really humbling because no one can tell me that I don't know how to do their job. Perfect. And I think that's so important that you have that understanding and you're not just assuming that, you know, this part of the business is being taken care of. I've done it. I know what it takes. And, you know, being able to kind of go through that level of growth within our business where, you know, I wore a lot of hats and eventually we brought team members on to help support and scale, you know, different parts of our operation. That's how we were able to scale and really grow Talent Pop to what it is today. So we were lucky enough to find a really great product market fit. And once we're able to establish that, let's stay focused, right? We're not a customer service agency for real estate agents. We're not a customer service agency for doctors. We're supporting e-commerce brands. Let's be the best in the world at that specific niche. And let's really serve them as best, you know, as we can with a world-class offering. So that's how we were able to grow Talent Pop.
Awesome. That's awesome. Chris, what else you pick up here, Christopher?
Yeah. So that, Armand, that it seems like you and your brother were experimenting with a lot of different industries and service offerings. You were kind of just waiting back for that perfect business to present itself. And this idea for Talent Pop did it and it took off. I love that strategy.
I would say even at first, like it wasn't even a strategy. It was just a natural progression. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, even to this day, they're going through that progression. But what they got to understand is that you need to go through those trials and tribulations. You need to taste different things to understand what works best for you, what skills that you can take from every experience, and understand that it's not an overnight success, right? Building the paving company did not happen overnight. You had to really, you know, eat shit to get to the point of where you guys have been able to grow to this day. You know, we had to go through the same thing. And I think going through that journey, you know, butting your head, you know, figuring out like what is going to work until, you know, you really put yourself in a perspective. And this is really, I think, what the defining moment was when we were so well versed in all the different things that we did, even if we didn't see those successful revenue results, all the lessons that we were able to accumulate made us undeniable. Mm-hmm. And when we became undeniable, knowing that we have the, you know, the skill sets and the prerequisites to be successful entrepreneurs, I knew it was inevitable that we were going to be successful. And that's really what it comes down to, is being inevitable and relentless on knowing that I'm going to make it happen. If it's not today, if it's not tomorrow, if it's not the next year, I'm going to continue to work at this each and every day. And if I can do that consistently, 1% better each and every day, what's going to happen is a lot of good things if you can stay focused.
That's amazing. And again, it reminds me of this. You made me think about experience for me. I was wandering in the paving industry, paving residential, commercial, a little bit of municipal, new construction, maintenance, seal coating, everything, right? And eventually it popped for me. It took me probably 15 years. And it was commercial, the biggest facilities owners in the world. We're going to serve them better than anybody else in the world. And when I focused on that, and that only, we grew a national business and grew because we focus only on that. And when still today, we're asked to do big commercial jobs that are new construction or municipal jobs, we're totally qualified to do it. We don't do it. And so I think like what you're saying is so true. Focus on your niche, focus on what you'd be world-class at, and you'll do great.
And thanks. The listeners even heard on this call, you asked me like, hey, is this a nature of what we could potentially help you out with? You're a growing organization. I could probably make money if I were to support you, but that's not the DNA of what we do. So I'm not going to steer in that direction. And that's the lesson right there live in this conversation, that don't just take every opportunity that's in front of you. Understand what you can become really, really world-class at and double down on it.
Yes, I agree, brother. You're awesome. Okay, Chris, what are the few things you picked up here?
Yeah, I'll just run through these real quick. Leaders must live by the culture to scale successfully. Leading by example is everything. The boss is the last one to leave every day. Aim for 1% better every day. Be a positive person in the organization. The worst type of culture is a complaining culture. Armin, where can our audience find out more about you?
Yeah, I mean, I have a podcast myself. That's the first thing I want to drive as many people to learn a little bit more about, you know, how to become a better, well-rounded person. So we have a podcast called Your Fifth Friend. You know, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with. I want to be your fifth friend. I want to help you out through your journey as an entrepreneur. So that's the number one place I want to drive people to. If you want to learn a little bit more about what we do, you can check out talentpop.co to learn more about our organization. If you want to follow me on IG, V Armin Tahiri, A-R-M-A-N, last name T-A-H-E-R-I, V Armin Tahiri.
Great. Thanks so much, brother. I appreciate it. You know, hey, are you in YPO yet? You or your brother?
I'm not yet. No, I think I should. I got to sign up. I'm part of other mastermind groups, but I have not joined YPO up to this point.
Get your ass in YPO. You're gonna be you'll be amazing. You'll be an amazing member. You'll be a blessing to everybody that's in it, as well as they'll be blessing you. I joined 20 years ago. My son joined it 6-7 years ago. He's experienced amazing growth as a leader. Again, you'll have a blast. I know there's a great chapter in your marketplace. So if you need a recommendation, you need anything there, I'll help you. But I just think that it's sometimes I find that I love being at the top of our organization leading, but some people think it's a little lonely at the top. Well,
it is.
These organizations, like you're saying, creating mastermind forums, you know, that now you've got, you know, your personal board of advisors to be able to bounce things off of, hang out with, become loving friends with, and all that. So I would recommend to anybody. So
absolutely. Right. Yeah. Well, guys, great conversation.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show today, buddy. This is awesome. Our listeners are going to get a lot out of it. And I really appreciate it. And if you guys, anybody, you know, listen to podcasts a lot beyond this one, you know, you got to pick up Your Fifth Friend. All right. I'm going to be listening to that as well. So thanks for everything, brother. Thanks for being here. Till next time.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yeah. Bye.
If you enjoy this show, please share with anyone else you think will find value here. And please go to our website, ditchdiggerceo.com, for show notes, links, video clips, and more nuggets of entrepreneurial wisdom. Don't forget to follow me on social media at ditchdiggerceo. Cans, paper routes, mowing lawns, cans.